Right.
Oh, well, we missed all that.
I got it recorded.
Cool. send. Then we'll use your recording. I'm gonna get all these on the on the. All these will be on the website one of these days.
One of these. Her husband in the seventh. The husband would leave her.
Say
the other way around.
No, seventh lord in the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband would leave her.
Okay.
She has 12th lord in the 7th, meaning she leaves her husband.
Yeah, I see that in a chart too. That works.
In what?
I have a chart that works perfectly for. I just pulled that.
Yeah, as I said, it's there are certain rules that are, you know, there's different, like, different rules have different strengths. Sometimes, like, certain rules are 60% of the time it works. Some are 75% of the time they work. Mm-hmm. Some of them are 80%ers. But this is one, I mean, must be like a 95%er. It works almost all the time.
What if the 12th Lord is in the 8th? Would there be lack of leaving?
Oh, well, 12th Lord and 8th, that wouldn't affect the relationship.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's all about where the 7th Lord goes. If the 7th Lord is in the 8th, okay, now you're going to test me here. 7th Lord in the 8th is, okay, 8th Lord in the 7th, shows the person leaves the spouse. Mm-hmm. Seventh Lord in the 8th, they're left by the spouse.
Okay, so it's similar.
It's opposite. Write it down. That makes it easier to see visually. Seventh Lord in the 12th, the person, the spouse leaves them. Seventh in the 12th, spouse leaves them. 12th Lord in the 7th, they leave spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till that's all written. 8th Lord is the opposite in that the, or no, it's
8th Lord in the 7th.
8th Lord in the 7th, they leave spouse. So it's the same. It's the same. It's the 6th Lord that's the opposite one. Oh, I said too much.
6th Lord and the 7th spouse leaves them.
So it's the same. The 8th Lord's the same. If 8th Lord's in the 7th, they leave the spouse. If the 7th Lord goes to the 8th, then the spouse leaves them.
And the 6th Lord? No, you mentioned the 6th Lord.
It's the 6th Lord is the opposite. If the opposite would be, you see here, if the 7th Lord goes to the 12th, the spouse leaves them. But if the 7th Lord goes to the 6th, they leave the spouse. And if the 6th Lord goes to the 7th, then what's the opposite of that?
Spouse leaves them.
So the 12 and 8 are the same, and 6 is the opposite.
Mm.
And you see, I remember because I remember particular people's charts. And I just remember those people's charts, and then, you know, I just, that's the way, because otherwise, how do you remember that? And it's easy for me. I have 7th Lord in the 12th. So my first marriage, my wife left. So that one makes it easy. And like this. It's if we find these combinations in people's charts, and then you remember that person in that chart and where they have that planet, then it makes it really easy to remember.
Hmm.
I tried, Frank. I tried, but it's just not working.
All right. I'm curious in Yama's 11th, if we were to activate that A7th,
yep.
Could that also bring up, like business relationships too? Or
fully.
Potential?
Fully.
Okay.
I have it's floating around somewhere on the internet. I have a whole article on A7. And it talks about the difference between lovers and business partners with the A7. Must be like a 20-30 page article with nice examples and all that kind of stuff.
Is it on your website or somewhere on the internet?
Somewhere on the internet. Used to be on the SJC website, which changed about 5 times, maybe 10 times since then.
Okay, I'm almost done. Can I just ask one more question, please?
Yeah.
So when you say Jyotir mantras for when the house is sick.
Jyotir Linga mantras.
Excuse me.
Because there's Jyotir mantras.
Sorry, that's
too.
Just what I wrote, just for abbreviating.
Yeah. Here. But there's Jyotir mantras.
Gotcha.
Okay, so we have to differentiate.
Gotcha. When would be a good example to use that?
Jyotir Linga mantras?
Yes.
Marna Karkastana.
Okay. Is there any others that you can think of?
Depends on the person. You know, you get somebody who's this big Shiva Bhakta coming, this and that, and they got this big problem, then, you know, you give them that which is more related to their tradition.
Okay.
Cancers, immune system disorders.
So literal sickness.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes it more clear.
But now throw it into a, you know, your business could have cancer too. Mm-hmm. You know, there could be a problem in the business and you know, there keeps being some issue that happens. So, and we find the problem is this weak planet over here and, yeah.
Okay, that's much more clear, thank you.
There's I haven't found it to work too well, so I don't want to say it too much, but
the Jyotir Linga.
There's a specific rule. There's a rule that says in the D10, if you want to help the person get a raise in money, but what is it when you get the next position up? A
promotion.
Yeah, to get a promotion. To do the Jyotir Linga mantra, the fifth lord of the D10. But I gave it twice and I didn't get a good result, so. But who knows why? What the reason for that was. But that's one of the statements, you know? So it gives you an idea of how to use that.
Okay.
I gave the Jyotir Linga mantra of the fifth lord of the D10 to the Nepali, what's the person that other country, ambassador to the USA. He wasn't happy in the USA. He wanted a better job in Nepal. And he did it for 2 years and didn't get a raise. So I don't know, maybe he just wasn't supposed to get, you know, that promotion, but it didn't fare well for me, so.
Okay.
But that statement lets you get an idea of a way to utilize those that mantra.
Hmm.
All right, you're good.
Thank you.
Let's go Yama.
Okay. I've been trying to realize when one would use the Panifara and the Apoquima. Like, I've never heard them used, and I just wanted to kind of know when one does that.
They are going to be used in Rashi Dasha calculations and in strength calculations.
Strength. So that's more relevant right now, right?
But it's going to be strength in... So... if you're going to calculate your Muladasha, in Muladasha you start with the strongest planet in Kendras, and you're going to use that the Panipara Apo Klima rules for strongest planet, and then we do the planets in Kendra first, then we move to Panipara, then we move to Apo Klima houses. So first we do the strongest planets in Kendra, which planet comes first in that order. Then we go to Panipara, what's the strongest planets in Panipara, go and utilize all them for the dasha. Then we go to Apoklima, what's the strongest planets in Apoklima. So, and that's just one example of a dasha.
So Mula Dasha is different, that's not the dasha that we're using. And Vimshottri.
I teach Muladasha in level 2.
I've heard you use Mula, but is our Dasha Vimshottri Dasha, one in Jagannathpura?
For level 1, we just use Vimshottri.
Okay.
And basically my dasha mode of operandi for students is, you know, get comfortable with Vimshottri, then I teach Nisargika. Nisargika sits underneath the Vimshottri, helps fine tune it. Then we learn about chara dashas, which are rashi dashas, and the chara dasha goes in between Vimshottri and the Nisargika. So we have Nisargika for a base of what's going on in the person's life. Then we look at the areas of their life. Then we interpret Vimshottri. So we have like this context. Because Nisargika, you know, like you wouldn't interpret a moon Mahadasha for a 7-year-old the same as you would interpret it for a 17-year-old, the same as you'd interpret it for a 60-year-old. You know what I mean? It's going to be different for all of them. Mm. And Nisargika Dasha gives us a exact detail of when to change how we're interpreting that. Then the Chara Dasha is giving us this concept of, you know, you might be in a moon Dasha, but are you in a moon Dasha in a palace or are you in a moon Dasha in a shack that's falling down? Mm. So there's the, you know, the biological time period of life, there's the situation of life, and then we have Vimshottri Dasha happening. And then all of a sudden there's a curse going on. There's something that's making the person suffer. And we need to know what's activating the suffering. And then we start bringing in Mula Dasha. They have a spiritual experience. We need to bring in Atmakarika Kendradi Dasha. They're a big financer. We need to bring in Sri Lagna Dasha. So like this, all these dashas are being utilized at the same time always. It's just a matter of knowing how and when to use them all. You following me there, Yama?
No, because you're way over my head. I'm trying to survive what you're saying.
Well, that's
it's just too much for me to you know, it's too much. How can I follow that?
Yeah. No. Oh, and I forgot to mention the Ayur dashas, there are certain dashas that are specific for health. And so any which way, volume 1, we just do Vimshottri, and then in volume 2, we add in Nisargika, we add in a Chara dasha, we add in a longevity dasha, and we add in Mula dasha. And we get functional with all of them. And by being functional with all of them, then you can go and pick up any of these other dashas. If you understand how to use 3 or 4 dashas together, then you can easily pick up another dasha and add it into the mix and take it out of the mix with no problem. But right now, we're doing Vimshottri. But your question was, is when do we use Panapara, Apoklima, these kind of things? And I gave you an example.
So it's not relevant to what I'm learning right now. It's just something to know. And then later, when I learn some that stuff, then I use that. Because I've never heard anybody. And so I was just, and it seems so complicated. And I don't hear people. Well, I do hear people talk about Kendras, but it's not as, you know, basic. But yeah, I mean, that's not hard. And that's.
Yeah, Kendras.
And this is a question that ties into the Kendras. Can I ask another question? Because it just doesn't matter to me. It's just, yeah. I can't, you know, it's all stuff way beyond me.
Let me rephrase Apoklima Panapara for you.
Okay.
So Kendras, and it's really easy to see in the North Indian chart. Do you use the North Indian chart? Okay.
I don't, but I know I can, but not as easily, but I know what you're saying. Yeah.
If you look at the North Indian, the Kendras are in the middle. And the thing is, the North Indian is more of a house-based system, and the South Indian is more of a sign-based system. Because the South Indian gives preference to the signs, the North Indian chart is giving preference to the houses. So when we look at the North Indian, you can see that all the Kendras, it's that middle square.
Right.
Now, there's something called Kendra Bala. If a person has no planets in Kendra, you know what kind of life they have?
Like a faded... faded.
There's no big events. There's no this big thing that's guiding them. There's, you know, they do things, but, you know, it could be this, it could be that. They go do this, it could be this, it could be... The Kendras in the Rashi, they really presence who we are. Yeah. Somebody that has a lot of planets in Kendra, oh my gosh, they got so much going on. And there's two important yogas. There's one called Sarpa Yoga, snake yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when there's...
What?
Sarpa Yoga.
Snake
Yoga.
Three
or more malefics in Kendra.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Parvata Yoga.
In Kendra, in the Kendra, not in all four Kendras?
Just as long as they're in Kendras. Three malefics.
But I mean, not in the same houses, but in all four Kendras.
Doesn't have to be
three
all four?
Three or more malefics in all four including the four Kendras, is that what I'm saying?
Three or more malefics in Kendras, in any way they want to be in Kendras.
Okay.
And all Kendras are full?
Doesn't matter. This,
okay.
With or without. That's called Sarpa Yoga.
Three
or more malefics in Kendras. Okay. And then there's Parvata Yoga. Parvata means mountain. And that's three or more benefics in Kendra.
Hmm.
When somebody that has Sarpa Yoga, there's always some suffering in their life.
Nice. Thanks, Freedom.
Nope, just Sarpa.
Granted.
You got that? There's always something that's challenging.
I also have.
There's always something challenging. If there's benefits, there's always something in life that's really easy. Like people with Parvata Yoga, that a big house comes easily, a nice spouse comes easily, money and jobs are coming easy. Just all the comforts of life just come relatively easily. Sarpa Yoga, there has to be work for everything.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
So this is using Kendra, Panipara, Apoklima. I'm not saying Panipara and Apoklima, but if the planets are in Panipara and Apoklima and not in Kendra, then that yoga doesn't work. You follow that?
If the planets, meaning what? The benefic or the malefic planets are in those two? Is that what you mean when you say the planet?
In order for three or more malefics to be in Kendra, that means those three planets are not in Panipara and they're not in Apoklima.
Mm-hmm. And there aren't too many malefics left over.
Exactly.
Well, there's two malefics left over in my chart, but yes.
So, yeah.
So you count Rahu and Ketu as malefics?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if Rahu and Ketu are in Kendra, if Rahu's in Kendra, then you're almost already there, you know? It's
almost there.
Yeah, that's
because,
what
because
I have.
If Rahu's there, then Ketu's already there. It's just, it makes it so it's almost all, then it's so easy for another one to happen. Where if Mars is there, or Sun's there, then it takes at least three more to make it happen.
Right. So that would be considered with the Sun, so that makes a Sarpa Yoga.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And so it always has to be the first house. You can't take the ninth house and start Kendras from there, right?
Exactly.
It's always the 1, 4, 7, 10
exactly.
Specific.
Exactly. Okay. Now,
because you mentioned in that, and I'm not looking at it right now, but Frank and I talked about this during the week, you mentioned the fifth house trine. And so I thought, that threw me. I didn't understand.
So if we look at the fifth house trine, in every single trine, and let's just do the fire trines from Lugna. One of those trines is a Kendra. One of those, and turn on the page 147.
When you say one of those trines, do you mean one of those houses?
Yes, one of the houses in trine.
It's one, right?
One first of house. Well, but let me just are you on page 147?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, one of those if we look at 159, one of those houses is a Kendra. One of those houses is Panapara, mm-hmm. and one of those houses is Apoklima.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go to the fourth house. One is Kendra, one's Panapara, one's Apoklima. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. you see how it's changing the energy. So in a trine, each one of these is taking on a different energy.
When you say go to the fourth house, and then what are you doing from there?
The
trine from there. So from the fourth house, the fifth house from the fourth is the eighth.
Right.
And the ninth house from there is the 12th.
You do that with trines, but you don't do that with Kendras.
Well, Kendras are square to each other. I'm trying to show you how we use.
You're starting with a Kendra, one of the Kendras, 1, 4, 7, and 10. One of those is going to be the first house. That's how you're doing it.
When you look at any trine, in any trine you look at, one is a Kendra, one is a Panapara, and one is an Apoklima. Just write that statement down.
But I have to understand it.
Okay, but write it down because you might have to spend some time looking at the chart.
But what I'm asking you is, whenever you go to a trine, you're always making a Kendra the starting first house, like you just did in the fourth.
Nope, you can do.
You didn't go to the third.
Let's go to the third then.
Okay, so you're going to do it that way too. You can go. So that's what I mean. For trines, you can go start anywhere, but for Kendras, it's specific. 1, 4, 7, 10. But for trines, you can start at any house.
I can look at Kendras from anything, but if we're looking at the houses from something, there's the houses that are called the Kendra.
Which is 1, 4, 7, and 10.
Mm-hmm. But you can be Kendra from anything.
Like the second house, you could see it would be 2, 5, 8, 11.
Kendras are the same guna,
right?
Trines are the same element.
But what I'm saying is just to find that first, and then.
But you see, it's already there. It's implicit.
But that's not the same element. But
Kendras
are the same what?
Yama, follow the statement. It's implicit already. It's already there. You don't have to do anything. It's already implicit within the nature of the signs. If you look at a trine, and the root trine being Aries, Leo, Sag, they're both fire signs. They're all fire signs, right?
I got you. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And if we go Kendra from Aries, they're all movable signs. If we go Kendra from Taurus, they're all fixed signs. If we go Kendra from Gemini, they're all dual signs. So inherent in the zodiac, the Kendras are always the same guna. And the trine is always the same element. And within a trine, one of those trines is Panapara, one is Apoklima, and one is... which one did I not say?
Kendra, Panapara, and Apoklima.
Yeah, there's one of each.
What? Oh, one is Kendra, right.
But frozen. Oh my goodness. I froze kind of funny there.
So far, I just have never heard anyone reference it and use it, and that's why...
It's used all the time.
That was the question.
Yep, it's used all the time.
But do you know what I mean? I've never heard anyone make mention. I'm not saying... Yeah. I'm not discounting it. I just haven't...
But I promise you it's used all the time.
I think what might help, Yama, is if we look at an example like you gave where, you know, all planets or something being in a Kendra can make, you know, give a very strong... emphasis on a person. What if, say, a lot of planets are in Panapara or Apoklima? What effect would that have? That might help her understand a little bit.
Well, the thing is, she's not believing my statement, and my statement.
No, I believe you. I just haven't experienced it. I totally believe you.
There's 30 or 40 yogas. If you open up Parashara, that are all using these terms. And you haven't heard them, it doesn't mean that they're not being used. They're all there.
Right.
If all planets are in Panapara houses, that's a specific Nabhasa yoga. And I can keep going on and on and on, but they're used all over the place. And I gave you a few examples, but they're of where they're very important, but they're used all over. Now, I'm going to... Let me finish with... And so trust me that they're used all over.
And let's
look at one more thing here. And if you look at the diagrams on page 147, the Kendras are the middle squares. And if you look second house from every Kendra, what do we have?
Seventh house.
I guess it's the Panapara.
Uh-huh. And 12th from every Kendra is an Apoklima. Mm. So the Apoklimas are always... If we look at the Kendras as mountains, the Apoklima is the way up to the mountain, and the Panapara is the way down from the mountain. So it's up, down, up, down, up, down.
Panapara is the way down?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Real simple. One is heading, one is this, it's a slope that goes, you know, it's this uphill slope. Mm. The other is this downhill slope. Mm. And literally that's what apoklima means. Do I give the Greek differentiation here? Do I translate the Greek? Panapara, no, I don't. It's in my notes for the next edition. Panapara means before or climbing. That's literally what the word means. The Kendra is the peak, or one house leads up to it and another declines from it. Apoklima means falling or decline. It means literally a slope. The word cadent that they use, the Latin word, literally cadent means decline. So it's this slope up and the slope down.
The second from Kendra is Apoklima, and 12 from Kendra is Paraklima. Panapara, sorry.
Say that again.
Second from Kendra is Apoklima.
Okay.
Up. Down.
Apoklima means falling, and Panapara means climbing.
From Kendra.
We say up or down, I'm, you know, it's yeah. There are these hills on either side of the mountain.
Okay, so the Kendra is the pinnacle.
Yes, exactly. It's the pinnacle, and that's why they become this important part of a person's life, and that's why when we say. Parvata yoga, there's all these benefits on the mountain. We call it the mountain yoga. Mm-hmm.
Can you say more about that? That meant something much more to me than just knowing where these were, you know, how to make use of them.
Yeah. I mean, in the yogas, the important thing here is that you know the terms, so when they're mentioned in the yogas, you know what they're referring to.
Well, I think what I heard you say, and tell me if this is correct, is that the fifth house from the Kendra means something positive. I don't remember what it was, but it's important.
It's all important.
The fifth house from the Kendra, what did you say it meant?
Well, there's the fifth and the ninth from the Kendra.
But you just said the fifth, so what did you say it meant?
I don't know if I said the fifth. I was talking about Parvata Yoga. And let's be clear of what the important thing at your stage is right now, and that's to know which ones they are, so when you read a yoga or you read a dasha calculation that is utilizing those houses, you know what they mean.
Okay.
And when we get to chapter 16 and we read charts, you won't be utilizing them in that way. But for other things, you will need to utilize them and you'll need to know what they are.
Okay.
Do you have another question?
I just was going over the Digbala, the directional strength of the Kendras, actually, again.
The Kendras,
and
yes.
I just, well, yeah, they're in the Kendras, right?
Not in Panapara, not in Apoklima.
This is directional strength.
Yeah,
and if
they're Apoklima, they don't have directional strength. And if they're Panapara, they don't have directional strength. Things can only have directional strength when they're on the mountain.
Oh. No, I'm just talking about the mountain right now. The planets that are positive, you know, that are good in the first house, the ones in the fourth, the ones in the seventh, and the ones in the tenth, the planets with directional strength in those houses.
Yeah.
And I started to think, well, I'm just like, if Jupiter... Is Jupiter stronger in the first house than it is when it's exalted? Or is it just a different kind of strength and they don't have to be compared?
It's a different type of strength.
Okay.
And I'll just give the example of you can... a person can be very rich and cowardly. A person can be very brave and poor. You know, they're so all the different factors of strength, they all represent something different.
Mm-hmm.
And they all represent different aspects of human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And Digbala planets will make that planet have a powerful impact in a person's life.
I mean, I know somebody with Jupiter in the first, and I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't recognize that in her if I didn't know it was in her chart. I'm not sure if it's retrograde or not, but it, you know, in terms of what I think of Jupiter as,
What does she do for a living?
Pardon?
What does she do for a living?
Mostly she trims marijuana. She's maybe 33 or 34, and she's still working on her undergraduate degree. That's why I'm...
And she's still working.
She doesn't necessarily, like, if she says she's going to be there at a certain time, she might come an hour late and not even call you tell you she's going
to
be late.
That has nothing to do with Jupiter. But she's still in school, and why is she still in school?
Why is she still in school?
Uh-huh.
She has a very hard time with academics. I think it's something she thinks she should do in order to be taking good care of herself career-wise. I don't think it's a match for her, but...
But she keeps trying it in school, and is she failing out of classes, or does she keep changing her
major? Sometimes. She drops classes often. She has to retake them. She has to go to study halls a lot. It's just she's not an academic person.
No, but she's, for some reason, is still in school, huh?
Yeah. At one point, she was in three schools at once.
Three schools at once.
Yeah. She had Sun and Mars in Aries in her sixth house.
Doesn't Jupiter have to do with education?
Jupiter's education. She doesn't matter if she passes or not. She's just happy being at the school.
I don't know if
she's
happy.
She's not smart enough to be a professor, so she's just a life student.
Well, anyway, I'm just trying to, put it together.
Jupiter retrograde could... Yeah, but I mean, you should check that. That
yeah,
probably...
I'm trying to find her chart, and I can't find it right
it's
now.
It's more, it's Jupiter's just weak. But the thing is, it's taking her to an educational, a life where she's just filling it with educational stuff.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to be...
Hold on, you just told me that she's always at school.
Here's her chart, I'll tell you if it's retrograde really fast. But yes, it is retrograde.
Uh-huh. But you just told me that she was once enrolled in three schools at once. She's always in school. Mm-hmm. She's in study halls.
But they aren't always. You know, she's not always geared for the program that she's in.
Doesn't matter.
There's that rule Sanjay says where if it's retrograde, it takes three times to get. It's hard to get the indication. So I mean.
You proved that Jupiter is heavily influencing her life.
Okay. And you're helping me understand why. Because I didn't make sense to me.
Because
I had another idea about it,
You just told us, her whole life revolves around trying to go to school.
Yeah, a lot of her life does.
It revolves around education. You got that, right?
I just think of Jupiter as
freedom. If Yama said that her Sun and Mars is in the sixth house, Aries, that would put Scorpio as her first house.
Right.
So would that have anything to do with the fact that, I mean, maybe she's just completely floundering because it's the eighth house of, Scorpio and
She just might not be that smart. She might be smoking a lot of pot. She might, who knows what's up. But bottom line is, she knows that she loves school. She loves learning. She loves education. She loves tests and books.
What sign is it in?
Scorpio.
But how would Scorpio first house color that? Like, how would that color add, what would the coloring be to that?
Well, the thing is, for what she studies, and we look at other indications for how smart she is, then there's Demanta combinations to look for. To look at how successful she's going to be in life, there's other combinations. But for the Digbala, and I'm trying to just stay focused, because her question is Digbala, and I'm really trying to get to the to premise that she just told us what that Digbala is doing. She's not realizing she's getting that Digbala, but I'm just staying with what she said and repeating it until she gets it, that she just told us what the Digbala is doing.
It's real interesting because Mercury is in Taurus, it's retrograde, and it's seventh house aspecting her ascendant as well. So she has both of those planets for the first house are somehow affecting that first house.
But Mercury is you see,
it's in the seventh.
If a planet is opposite its Digbala, it also has zero Digbala.
So Mercury isn't giving any effect to the it's opposite its Digbala, because that cancels out its affecting.
It cancels out any Digbala from Mercury.
Okay.
So she's ready to be a professor without learning anything.
She's not interested in being a professor in any way, not at all. She wants to do handwork. She wants to make crafts.
This is where you have to take the whole chart into.
Yeah, but the thing is, she keeps at school because of that Digbala.
Okay.
Thank you. And she loves it. She's fulfilling, even if she's not successful, she's just happy going to classes. She's happy at a university. Happy at a place of education. Right, let's jump over to Maggie.
Could I just ask a quick related question?
Yeah.
I never really got Saturn and Rahu dig Bala in the seventh.
So explain to me, Venus and Moon dig Bala in the fourth, and Mars and Sun dig Bala in the tenth.
Well, I mean, Venus, Moon, you know, those watery qualities, emotional qualities, these nurturing kind of qualities might be given more emphasis. K2 Mars, Sun, that kind of thing, more of the, you know, outward moving energy, that ability to make things in the world, that kind of 10th house energy.
Okay, you missed the point then. Fourth house trines are what element?
Water.
Uh-huh. And who's Digbala in the water trines?
Moon and Venus. Yeah, I mean, I know it's elemental based.
Yeah.
And,
but seventh house trines are Vayu.
Mm-hmm.
Seven's also exalted in Libra.
Yeah, well, but that's a the rule doesn't you if we could use that. Venus isn't exalted in Taurus and Moon's not exalted in Cancer. Neither of them are exalted.
Yeah.
So Sun and Mars aren't exalted in Capricorn.
Yeah. Right.
So we don't want to use. It is, yeah. we just don't want to use a rule that doesn't
apply all around.
If it doesn't apply all around, it's not a reason.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It
a reason should be holistic. So we have the Vayu Tattva. And the Vayu Tattva gives us what?
Gives us a movement, longevity, if it's strong, I mean, it can guard against stability, but or instability. But I mean, it just, I often see, you know, like Saturn or Rahu in the seventh, it seems like it would harm, you know, relationships and, you know, those significations, but yet it gets directional strength. So
I've seen people with Saturn in the seventh, and they're like, they have no partners, but their business takes off.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no business partners.
Oh, no, but how many employees do they have?
A lot.
Exactly.
Hmm. Obama has Saturn in the seventh, I think.
No, is this Lagna?
No, Jupiter's in his Lagna. Oh, whatever. We don't have to talk about that. It's a debilitated Jupiter.
So you know, it gives the a lot of servants. It gives a lot of hands. It gives a lot of power to accomplish things. It gives strength to make things happen. And you know, we live in a very modern society where we don't have a house filled with seven or eight maids. Just, you know, the way our society is set up, we just don't afford it. But you know, in a more class caste based system, you know, somebody with that would have lots of maids to take care of everything in the office. I mean, if I had a few office hands, where like I had somebody typing, I had somebody writing what I said, I had somebody recording the books, listen. Oh my gosh, what could I accomplish if I had that Saturn Digbala?
What about Rahu?
Same.
Does it also give a level of commitment to, like, partnerships?
It's hard on the level of partnership.
Yeah, the people that I've seen with that doesn't work.
And the thing is, the people with that, they often, they look at their partner, you know, they go to work and they have everybody, they just tell them what to do because they're employees. Mm-hmm. And the employees don't say, oh, don't you care about me? Oh, can't you say that nicer? Oh, you know, like it's go do this, you go do that. It's like work, and they go off and do it.
It's directional strength. It's not directional, like
related. Yeah. And so they go home and cook this for me, honey. Go run that for me. It's there's this it doesn't work out too well in relationship.
Yeah.
Unless they're with the person that can deal with that.
Thank you for that question, Frank.
Yeah, that was always my, but yeah, okay, that makes sense.
And what I was thinking about that, because I forgot I had that question, but what I was thinking about is it puts K2 in the first, which is like, ah.
I like K2 hard. In the first.
You do?
Yeah.
You love K2, you what?
I like K2 in the first.
Love?
Okay.
Very intuitive people. As long as K2 is strong, it gives like strong intuition. They're people that, you know, felt sense. What's his name?
Genlin.
Genlin. I mean, they got K2 in the first house. They figured Genlin out before he even said anything. They're like, oh, he wrote a book on this? I did this in kindergarten. You know, that's a K2 in the first house will say.
All right.
I appreciate that. Do you see that somebody dropped that chain back and the key's gone?
Oh,
right.
With no
so,
key?
Yeah, without the key. Alright. So I think we got Maggie next. And Amrita, you just, have you read any? You haven't listened to anything, okay? So you're just observing today.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, Maggie.
I actually have a lot of questions. The deeper I get into it, the more questions I have.
Good.
Can I start with an example chart?
Yes. And let me go for it. Month?
February 18.
February 18.
And did you get January 18?
Oh, no. January 18th?
67.
1967.
At 7:09 a.m. in Madison, Wisconsin.
And male or female?
Male.
All right, switch. And so the way we do this here, we save it as Maggie, and give me the issue in the person's life that we're gonna be looking at.
Neck
issue, okay.
Yeah, so this is going back to chapter 5, and I'm just wondering how to integrate the indications of the house with the indications of the sign.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, for the pretty serious neck issue, and it's been going on for most of his life, and it's coming to a climax. And so I'm wondering, am I looking at the second house in his chart? Am I looking at Taurus?
You're looking at both. Didn't make it easier for you, did I? and so we 100% look at both. And let's see, he's running.
At the end of a Mars dasha moving into a Rahu dasha.
Mars. And Rahu started today.
Oh my God, okay.
So let's just look at that Mars. Mars has no aspect on the second house or on Taurus. Right? So that right there tells us that there is, and you know how I was talking about using multiple dashas earlier? That right there tells us that we're not looking at Vimshottari dasha for what's going on here.
Oh, okay.
You know, if Mars is not telling us why it's activated, then, and it's Mars from Vimshottari, we know that there's other dashas to look at. And I don't think we want to do too much on the other dasha level today.
Like for several decades, uh-huh. But it's just ever been right now.
Say that, but what right now?
Worst it's ever been right now, to mm-hmm. the point where, I mean, he wants to, he doesn't want to be alive. Mm-hmm. So I don't, I mean, I know Saturn and Mars are in the 12th house right now,
and Saturn aspects Mars. They aspect each other.
Yeah.
Saturn rules the second here. It's Rashi and Graha Drishti with Mars, which in the fourth. I don't know if that plays in.
And what exactly is going on with his neck?
He's got a disc impingement and probably has been told he needs to get surgery but hasn't, and has actually been using Ayurveda to avoid surgery for about 10 years.
Ayurveda instead of yoga or rolfing or something of that nature?
Well, everything. I mean, seriously, he's seeing someone every day, some body worker every single day to try to get it figured out, but it's getting worse and it's moving into his chest and arm. Mm-hmm. But it stems from like a series of injuries dating back to when he was like 3 years old. But it doesn't, I mean, I was looking at the second house and the only thing I saw was in chapter six, talking about the, I can't remember the word for it, but for the houses that create blockages. And I think Venus is that house for him.
For him, the blockage house is the seventh. And Mercury is the, what we call, Mercury is both Marika and Bhadaka Lord in the second. And we also have Six Lord in the second. But the thing is, Sun is Ninth Lord. And I'm just looking at everything in the chart. And so the Ninth Lord should be able to help things out there. But that Ninth Lord Sun has to be afflicted in some way. And there's not really an affliction happening. But if we look, Venus is the Lord of Taurus. So it's the sixth Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's the sixth. And so we have a double thing happening. But there's more. Yeah. There's more. But there's the sixth Lord causes problems wherever it goes.
Right. And the sun is the spine, is that right?
The sun is the spine. So in general, we want to see some weakness to the spine. And okay. We're not really seeing, I mean, it's in a Saturn sign, yes. But like, is that enough?
Sun and Mercury are right on top of each other.
Yeah, Mercury's combust. But the other thing I was wondering...
They're both at 4 degrees.
Which is hurting Mercury primarily.
Yeah.
But so we have the sixth Lord in the house of the neck. That alone can give us neck problems. Taurus is the Lord of the sixth house. So the whatever planet, whatever sign is lording the sixth house, we generally have a tendency to have a problem there.
Okay.
And then we have the Bhadakesh, and that has to be the main issue. If he's going to a million therapists and no one's able to fix it, then we're really looking at that Bhadakesh.
Okay.
And the thing is, the Bhadakesh is this combust Mercury.
Oh, nice.
Let's see. I had a client this morning. He had Bhadakesh Mercury conjunct Saturn. And it was connected to his A5. And the guy has done so many programs and he has no certification. He's like, I can't practice anything because I have no certification. And I said, he did a 4-year massage therapy, healing energy kind of program. And he tried to get his massage license and something happened where the school lost its license in the middle of his training. So it had a license when he started, lost it when it left. He tried to apply for the credits. It took him 1.5 years to get back to him. Like, you know, I mean, like, just give the guy certification. Spent 4 years learning massage. I mean, I got certification in a 3 month course to do massage once, you know. So it's, and but he had Mercury is Bhadakesh with Saturn connected to the A5. A5 is certifications. And so it just totally was blocking him getting, you know, any type of certification. And so when the Bhadakesh gets afflicted, it really causes problems. So we have Venus is, you know, sixth lord in the house of the neck, and Taurus lording the sixth house is giving us a weakness in the area of the neck. And then the Bhadakesh being placed there is saying that that problem, no one can figure out what's wrong with it. And it's not just a Bhadakesh, it's a combust. It's a very angry Bhadakesh. What has he done on the spiritual level of healing?
A lot. I mean, it's been the focus of his life for medicine work with plant medicine kind of stuff.
Plant medicine.
I mean, and the thing is that it's also the Mercury thing is also his genius. I think he's a very good yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's also downfall. And also, I mean, people know, at least the Western doctors will say, like, knows what it is as far as the disc impingement thing is. It's just all, there's a lot of symptoms that go with it that right now are really tricky to figure out. Like, it's moving up kind of all over his spine. But I was wondering also if...
It sounds like Bhadakesh again.
What do you do?
If it was pure sixth lord... It would be a particular disc, and it wouldn't be moving. If it was,
well, it is, but the pain is moving all over.
Yeah.
The A11 is it too?
A11.
What is that?
So Bhadakesh in the second is called Jiva Dosha, and. Tell me about this guy's humor.
He's hilarious.
He's hilarious. But not everybody... Yeah. He's hilarious on a certain level, but not everybody appreciates the level his jokes go to, huh?
Probably not.
So... Jiva Dosha means...
Oh, Jiva.
J-I-H-V-A. Jiva means tongue. He's got a tongue problem. And the tongue problem is being caused by Mercury. You see, if the tongue problem was caused by Saturn, he would always be too blunt with people and say things that were too intense. If the sun if the Jiva Bhadaka is by sun, the person is always too honest to the point where it hurts. You know, they were about to get a job, and then they just happened to be too honest and lost it.
Mm.
They were about to get, you know, they met a beautiful woman who loved them, and then they were just too honest and ruined it. Like, you know, there's certain things that we don't say sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what other... Like this, so the Jiva Dosha gives us problems based upon our tongue. And with Mercury, it makes a person very funny. But... his jokes totally mess things up. You know, like, his jokes, like, the butt of his jokes, kid, you know, if he just held his tongue, life would be so much better. But he's not holding his tongue. And the indication is, you know, if you know, anybody want to take a stab of what that would look like in a past life that caused the problem in this life?
Did it have to do with anger because of the combustion? Is there some kind of...
Well, the thing
is that where some of his humor is coming from, even though it's funny?
It's, well, I mean, it has a little bit of a spitefulness to it. You'd agree with that, right, Maggie?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is sort of attacking the status quo, and a lot of people don't really want to hear that, I guess. Yeah.
Is it sarcastic?
Yeah.
Sarcastic, yeah. With a good spite in there. And that's that let's see, you smile, it's everything. And that's the combustion. I'm sorry. But let's
Freedom, try. Freedom, where?
Yes,
where are we seeing? Where are we seeing the jiva? Where are we seeing the tongue at?
Second house.
Okay.
Baddha Kesha in the second house is called jiva dosha.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Does that have anything to do with the throat? You know, the neck and throat?
Yeah, but where's your tongue?
But I mean, the speech and the throat and being in the neck.
Yeah, but the tongue goes all, you know, where's the root of the tongue?
At the top of the throat.
The root?
I don't know.
I can't see.
I am. I'm just trying to feel exactly. The tongue goes all the way back there.
But I mean, Saraswati and the fifth chakra and the throat and speech.
The big thing is his tongue is poisonous.
And, well, he swears a lot.
Uh-huh. And so that needs to be step one.
Okay.
He needs to check his speech.
He actually was talking this morning about, because he's taken Sanskrit lessons and he stopped. I think he got, would that be a positive thing?
When did he start Sanskrit lessons?
It had to be a long, long time ago, maybe like 10 years ago or something.
But he just decided now to stop and kind of make his tongue behave?
No, a long time ago. I think it was pretty short lived.
Okay. Well, so that's step one.
He
needs to, and just as a, you know, often I see this with finances. You know, you get Saturn or Mars there, and the person, they just can't save any money. They have, like, issues with money. And if that planet's Bhadaka, it's just, I mean, whatever they say, they make these bad jokes, and then their bank account goes kaput. You know, for him, it's Mercury, so it's, you know, it's not hurt. Mercury doesn't hurt the bank account, but so.
But Mercury rules his Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Is that connected to that?
Yeah, I mean, the slip disk is a lack of a kosh. Mm-hmm. With the proper amount of kosh, a kosh. Then there's healthy amount of space between vertebrae.
So no, I think I missed out. I don't think it's a slip disc. I think it's actually just a crushed. I don't know if it matters, but it's like a crushed disc. Yeah. It's actually deteriorating.
So the crushed again. It's a lack of space, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And who gives us space?
Jupiter.
And where's Jupiter?
He's exalted and retrograde in the eight.
Exactly. So he's Uchabunga in the eighth house. So there's not enough space.
So it's naturally powerful, but it's in a negative house.
Mm-hmm. But it's retrograde. Yeah. So the retrograde makes the exaltation is reversed and is debilitated. And so you see how it shows up in the spine there.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, he's losing that space.
And you see, the big thing is when the sun is weak, we can strengthen Jupiter. When Jupiter's weak, we can strengthen the sun. They help each other out. But in this case, we can't really do too much to Jupiter because he's in the eighth house. And if we strengthen him, it's kind of dangerous.
Okay.
Right, and he's aspecting.
And we have the sun. The sun is the ninth lord. But he's combusting Mercury. So it's a real touchy, you know, it's we're getting super touchy here.
Yeah, definitely. That's how it is right now.
Yeah.
It seems like on a more spiritual level that Venus being with that combust combination of Mercury Sun and saying things that hurt others is making it hurt him.
Exactly.
That when you hurt somebody else, that Venus is really not able to be Venus, because when you hurt someone else, you're hurting yourself, and he's having to, from a past life, create this karma and now suffer in order to, you know, and how can he get super detached and wanting to know, what am I doing to myself? How am I creating this?
But we always take into account the lordship. Like, look at my chart. I have Saturn in the second house, which makes me very blunt, but it's the ninth lord. So, you know, in the Jyotish community, I'm famous for telling people how it is. When you had a relationship consultation, I just said how it was. A lot of people, they don't want, you know, they try and paint things nice and pretty. I just say how it is. But it's the ninth lord. My intention for being blunt is beneficial. Mm-hmm. Where if you look, he's got the sixth lord Venus in the second house. So that Venus is second lord. So is it beneficial, sixth lord? Sixth lord is kind of jabbing. It's painful. It has an attacking kind of energy associated with it. Mm-hmm. And so every time he makes these bad jokes that, like, are attacking people, every time he makes these bad jokes that have spitefulness in them, he's basically poisoning his spine.
Okay.
You got how that's working there, yeah?
Yeah,
I did.
So
and is it?
Yeah.
So Venus there, does that... Because he'll actually attribute some of the pain that he's in now, like the continuing degeneration, to the fact that he doesn't necessarily have a good idea of space for himself, and the past relationship was incredibly toxic for him, and he thinks that it kind of that instigated a downfall in his neck stuff. So is Venus showing that at all?
Well, Venus is sixth lord, but also who did we say was the big problem causer there?
Well, I thought it was Mercury. I thought Mercury was the...
And what's the lordship of Mercury?
The lordship of Mercury. All the seventh house, yeah.
So that partner, she was incredibly spiteful.
Yeah.
She was mean.
She still is, yeah.
As if there was something that she was angry at. Still from three lives ago, she's still pissed at him. Even if he didn't do anything bad to her this life, she's still, like, fuming from what he did to her last life.
Yeah.
She came back to be with him just to make him suffer in this life. Just to be spiteful some more. You see that in the combination, right?
If that's dealt with, if that's actually dealt with, would that have a positive impact on his health situation?
Well, the big thing is... first clearing the energy from her, making her happy. Were they married?
No.
Okay. Because if they're married, then it's important that he gives alimony. Because, you know, when you have a bad combination like that, it means you got to give alimony. Give him some money, because it's like, it's better you give him money than you give him, like, your health.
Is that because of the Bada Kesh? Yeah.
The whole, it's because of the Lord is afflicted and suffering and all this. So, you know, she's already moved out? It's already 100% done?
It's been like 3 years, and she kind of ruined the city for him, because she talked trash about him throughout, like, the whole yoga community here. It's a total mess.
Just because it seems such a critical thing, I'd like to say something about her anger. If she can realize that whatever she's angry at him for, she chose to be with him, and she could be angry at herself for being with him, you know, for putting herself through whatever it was that didn't work for her, because she ultimately made the choice and was responsible for being with someone who was so upsetting for her. And yeah, she can, that might be healing for her, which could be healing for him.
Yeah, well, I don't know her, and she's a little bit unreachable from what I can tell.
Okay, like, yeah.
It's situation, so I don't know what that's...
But the health is the focus. So the key is for him to really clear his speech and to start watching his tongue and to know that every time he makes a spiteful or hurtful joke, it goes right in there and crunches the spine a little bit more.
Okay.
Then we want to do something to worship this Jupiter. And does he have a guru?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, he has teachers. He has one teacher in particular that he goes and sees. Yeah.
Is it a guru that he can do some seva, that he can like volunteer an hour or two a week to help out?
He's in New Mexico, so probably not. He could maybe help him somewhere. I don't know.
Let him call up and try and find a way that he can do a little seva to that guru. Whether it's working the guy's Facebook for a few hours, a month or something like that. So he's doing a little bit of seva. That way he's giving, you see, Jupiter in the eighth house means there's a debt to the guru.
It's interesting because the most horrible part of the neck thing happened while he was in a class with his teacher. Mm-hmm. Over 2 days. It all went down there. Not the debt that he's paying to his teacher.
No. Well, if there's multiple things happening here, you know.
Freedom with him going into his Rahu Dasha and his Rahu Moon conjunction, mm-hmm. and his desire to not live. Is that a concern? I mean, it seems like it might be.
It depends.
Moon is the eighth lord.
Yeah, it's an eighth lord moon on top of all that. And Muladasha, he's running K2 Mars. But I don't want to spend too much more time on the chart. The important thing is get his speech working properly, get him doing some guru seva, get him doing a guru mantra. Very important there for creating that space in the spine. And I would suggest some type of Mercury Shanti Puja.
Also, his moon is in Gandanta and getting activated by Rahu.
That'll be the joy of the coming dasha. But that's important, and with that clears some of the karma that is going to allow him to find somebody who's going to be able to help him with his neck.
Okay. And so any guru mantra or something specific?
Could be something as simple as Om Guru Ve Namaha, could be Guru Vandana, Om Goror Brahma, Goror Vishnur, like this. But definitely just worship of the guru every morning. And guru seva, something that's a few hours every week to pay off that debt. And then the Mercury Shanti Puja, and then some remedy will have some room possible to come in there. Okay. I think that's good for now.
Yeah, thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
This Jiva dosha, uh-huh. is there a dosha for every house, for the Vatakesh in the houses?
Certain ones are more than others. Mm. And volume 2 has a whole chapter on it. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The big thing about the Bhadaka related stuff is it's just not normal. Like how she said that the pain's moving all over his spine. Mm-hmm. It's not like central. Mm-hmm. That's kind of giving you a hint that there's bhadaka involved. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody who their ankle keeps having problems and they can't walk and you know, they broke it multiple times and no one can figure out how something is. Whenever they go to like multiple doctors and nobody can figure it out, mm-hmm. you can pretty much bet that the bhadaka's involved. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just one of those indications that that's what the Bodhika does with hell. Huh. All right, what else you got, Maggie? But you got how we used both there.
And especially when there's multiple indications pointing to a similar thing, then you can know that that's a little bit more sure that that's what's going on, like the connection between Taurus and the second house.
Exactly.
Gives you more certainty.
Exactly. And okay. the more planets indicating a problem, the worse the problem is.
Okay.
And Aries, would Aries relate to the neck? I know it's the head, but would it also?
Head.
Okay.
Yeah. And with the moon Rahu there, that's going to be some head trip problems in that dasha.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I guess the physical level
before you take care of that. Yes.
I guess I was curious about the third house because it's so many different things. It's the Upashaya. It's a, you said it might be a Dustana, and it's also, maybe I'm not correct here. I guess I was getting a little bit confused about what to focus on with the third house, because it seems like it falls into a lot of different categories.
Yes.
Do I need to say more?
Yeah, say more.
Okay. I just wrote this down and I can't remember exactly where the question came from. I mean, it's kind of the climax of my confusion about how to integrate all this stuff, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Like it's a house from a house, it's an element, it's a guna, it's a upachaya, it's a tama or whatever. I don't know how to integrate all that into like something meaningful to say about the house, I guess.
All right.
And I've always
my
third house because
it's
weird and just so it just was what I was thinking.
It's a loaded third house. So let's go through all those things to integrate. And okay. Why don't you start? What do you got them all written down, everything that needs to be integrated?
Not all of it, but I can try.
Take a real quick moment and everybody write down everything. Upachaya, is it a Kendra? Is it not a Kendra? What is it? Is it what elements, who's the Bhavakarika? Write all this stuff down.
Third
who's
house.
The natural lord? Who's what else? About the third
of this
house.
Chart?
Yeah. Of just chart in general.
Oh.
Significations of the third house. What time is it when the sun's in the third house?
Maybe like 2 a.m.
Good. Good job. You passed that one.
It's confusing for me. I just started, because I've always used the South Indian chart, and so wrapping my mind around the other charts has been a whole practice this last couple weeks, but I like it. It's helping.
It's such a good practice, isn't it? It totally opens up how you look at a chart.
Yeah, and I've been looking at the sky a lot too, so that's good.
Nice. And you can look up, if you're having a beach day, you can look up at the sky and kind of guess almost what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun, you know? Me I like to nighttime. I like to, based upon the tithi, I like to look up at the sky and try and guess what time it is based upon where the moon is and the tithi.
That's cool. Okay, should I tell you what I have?
All right. Well, let's first. East Indian. We're gonna go right from the book. So first thing with house meanings on page 145. So it's effort, it's siblings, it's arm, shoulders, it's courage, right? Now, have you ever seen the sibling studies that talk about sibling birth order?
Well, you were talking about that in the lecture that I was watching today, actually. Uh-huh. That the child tends to be more introverted.
Yeah, so have you seen those studies, though?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
They were real big at the time I did my undergrad. You know, it was like new research. But just like, how's the older sibling compared to the middle sibling, compared to the younger sibling? It's so we can see that this effort and this sibling order is very important. Mm-hmm. And you, where are you in the sibling order, Maggie?
I have two older brothers.
The youngest, with two older brothers, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So basically, because you're the youngest, that means that Rahu's kind of mean over there. And why is that? Rahu's mean because Rahu's not letting there be any younger siblings.
Oh, why?
But it means that Saturn's good because Saturn's giving two older siblings.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
Instead of just one older sibling, he's giving two.
So that means that Saturn is functioning in a healthy way in my chart. That's an indication that it's
healthy. He's giving good results. Yeah. You see, we can read the chart both directions. We can look at a person's life, look at the chart. We can look at the chart and look at the person's life. Either way. But so we see that they're in general, the youngest person, there's some malefic situation in the third that stopped them from having younger siblings. Mm-hmm. And oldest often has some malefic situation in the 11th that's stopping them from having an older sibling.
Yeah, my oldest brother has Rahu in the 11th.
So you see that Rahu kills his older siblings, and Rahu kills your younger siblings.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And so there's this effort, the siblings. And we have three planets there. So what does that mean about your effort?
It's all over the place. There's a lot of it. It's confused.
Is it confused?
I mean, probably. So, well, I think sometimes I make effort in the wrong directions.
Yeah. Well, okay, so effort here is less about the direction you choose. The choice for direction is based upon the Lagna Lord, right? That's choosing. But then once you choose to go on a direction, how much energy do you put into that direction, and how do you put effort into that direction? So and I like to use those people that when you're walking down the street and on the corner, they want you to sign some SeaWorld thing, or I don't know, like
Sierra Club
thing. They want your signature.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can say, oh, I'm busy, and they don't say anything back. And other times you say, I'm busy, and they say, oh, it just takes 1 minute. And you're like, I don't have that. And they keep talking until they catch you. Have you noticed that some are really good at catching you and some are really good at getting blown off?
Yeah.
That's third house.
Okay.
So malefics in the third house, they're really good at catching you. They don't give up. Mm-hmm. Benefics in the third house, you say, I'm busy right now. And they say, oh, they're busy. I don't want to bother them. So you got the difference. You got what effort means there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the part of the lecture that I'm actually watching right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And here you have this Marna Karkasthana Jupiter. So he's not really doing too much. But you got Rahu and Sun, and they're both malefics. And we add in third from Aruta Lugna to see this effort. And what do we got third from Aruta Lugna?
Saturn.
Saturn. Mm. So if you were collecting signatures, how good would you be?
The thing is, I'm quite shy most of the time.
Shy, that's a different situation. But if you were collecting signatures and somebody said no, would you accept their no?
Yeah, I mean, I actually feel like I don't really want to bother people most of the time.
Okay, but if that was your job, there's bothering, there's not bothering, huh?
Say it, I guess. It's hard to imagine. But,
so let's talk about your boyfriend. You want to go dancing, or you want to go out to a band. What is it? What do you like to go out to?
Maybe hiking.
Hiking. So you want to go hiking. He says, I had a long, hard day. I don't feel like it. Do you just say, okay, honey, you just rest. We don't need to go hiking.
Well, I mean, I'd probably say you can rest, but I'm going to go.
maybe that Marnikar Kastana Jupiter is giving.
What do you think, like the third from Atmakarka?
No, Atmakarka only in the Karakamsha, not Atmakarka.
Okay.
Saturn is third from Aruta Lugna in both D9 and Rashi.
We won't use Aruta Lugna in D9 now.
Okay.
Yeah. In D9, we'll look at Atmakarka. So we look at Saturn himself, and we look at third from there. And that shows the soul desire, the soul effort.
So
we're not, you know, in this case, soul effort's a very subtle thing. I want something. So you're telling me that this Jupiter is messing up everything, huh?
Is the Jupiter the one causing me to be nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if that Jupiter wasn't there, you'd say, shut up and get up and let's get going. Yeah. You want to be my boyfriend, you better get hiking here.
Since it's in its own strong sign, it kind of has strength of
it. It's getting strength, but it's Marnikarka strength.
It's strong.
So she says, oh, fine, you stay there, I'll go by myself. But does she feel happy about that? Nah, it feels like crap.
Marnikarka feels like it's time.
Yeah.
Because it's
just like, I said, have you ever, like, experienced something and you're like, just kill me. Just kill me. Like, why are you doing this to me? It's killing me.
Yeah, because
Marnikarka.
His third house is all about initiating, and Jupiter's all about
peacefulness. Let it to be how it is. You know? All right, so let's jump over. Should we use Frank or Yama?
Chart.
Let's go real fast.
Our chart.
Pull up Yama's chart.
I don't think I have it. Can you tell me the information?
March 14th, 1954. 7:03 p.m. Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay.
All right. So,
Lugna, right?
So from Lugna third, and there's nothing from Aruta Lugna. So we're just looking at from Lugna.
Okay.
Does she take no?
No.
No way. What'll she do if you say no?
It could be a battle to the death.
All right. Good. Now let's look at Frank. You got Frank's chart?
I think so. Let me see. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Oh, so, okay. So it's a malefic, but it's K2, so does that make a difference?
Yeah. It's malefic, but it's K2 sometimes nice, sometimes not nice. Sometimes K2 will bite your head off. Sometimes K2 will be your friend.
Yeah, it's about right.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's changeable. It's a snake's tail. Depends which way it goes. One way, goes another way.
Mm-hmm. And it's an immovable sign, so would that amplify that?
Even more changeable. Let's. Okay. Do you got Justin's chart?
Yeah, I think I actually do.
Oh, Justin, I didn't know.
Libra, right?
Libra rising, yep. What do we got in the third?
Okay, so Saturn retrograde.
Uh-huh. What do you think he, so, what do you think a no means to, if, what would no, how would he respond to no?
Well, it could be sort of a drawn out process of resisting that no.
Great, perfect. Mm. And you told me you didn't understand the third house.
Trying to integrate the other aspects of it,
but this is the most important aspect of the third.
Mm-hmm. It can take me a while to get going, you know, but once I get going, I'm really...
let's do Amrita Vidya's chart. Do you have that one?
Probably. No, I don't.
So, she's March 17th, 1982.
Okay.
12:19 p.m.
Okay.
Jacksonville, Florida.
What year?
1982.
Okay.
I'm still frozen over there. All right. Tell me about how she responds to no.
Okay, well, it's Leo. It's Leo with no planets in there. So first, I would say maybe it's like a little bit obstinate, maybe because of the fixed quality of Leo.
Uh huh.
Then it's going into the 10th house, and then this is where I get confused because I think it's in the 10th house. It's in the 8th house from itself.
Okay, and eighth house from itself would be siblings.
The eighth house from itself is siblings.
That would be the lugna of her siblings are in the eighth house. That's letting us know what her relationship, how the siblings and her are relating.
Okay.
So how are her siblings and her relating?
There could be issues.
Some issues. What's going on with you and the siblings?
I actually am not very close with my brother. Uh-huh. We don't really talk. Somehow we don't connect so much.
It's a loss.
So you see there's a loss of connection there.
When we were kids, though, we fought. We did.
There are a lot of control issues when you were a kid.
Yeah, right there was some...
Control issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could translate into her third house.
So, but the eighth from, okay, for her and effort, we're not going to look at the eighth from aspect. But for brothers, do you see how we use that for her relationship to siblings? Because it's the third house, it's Lord is eighth from it. It's not eighth from her. For her, the third Lord's in the tenth.
Yes, that makes sense.
For the sibling, its Lord is in the eighth.
Okay, that clears up a lot, because my other question was the difference between that, and you said it's the intention. When it's placed from the house, it has to do with the intention of the house, and I didn't know what that meant exactly, but that makes sense.
Okay, apply that same thing to her mom. So we look at fourth house. Let's look at the Lord. Mm-hmm. The Lord is Mercury in the ninth. So how's her to her mom? What's her to her mom, her to home?
Okay, so her to her mom, that seems like a positive relationship, like maybe she gets some guidance from her.
Guidance, there's some, like, she looks to her mom almost like a father,
mm-hmm.
right? But now, how's her mom, in the detail of how her mom is?
It's in the sixth house, so she maybe has some health issues or a lot of obstacles in her life.
Or very critical.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord going to the six makes a critical nature.
Always finding problems.
Six from the house.
And is that correct?
Yeah, very much. Okay. So
that cleared that up, Maggie?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank you.
And so you can do that from every house.
So can I just say something interesting? Yeah. So my mom is Gemini rising also. And her Mercury is exalted. No, it's not exalted. In her D7, her Mercury's in her first house, mm-hmm. which is also Gemini. Mm-hmm. Her D7 is Gemini rising. And my brother is a Leo moon.
Leo moon. So you see it all.
It's like...
It fits really, perfect, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me more about her effort. When she asks me to sign her petition... And I say, I'm busy. I don't have time right now. Because, you know, you never say no to those people. You always make a little excuse, don't you? Like, when's the last time somebody said, hey, do you want to support Greenpeace? You don't say no. there's always, I got to pick up my daughter right now. Or, something. There's some. So I say, I got to pick up my daughter right now. How do you think she responds?
I think there'd be some persistence in that request, but then with it being in,
it's just cause.
Because it depends on whether it was her job or not, because being in the 10th house, maybe she would be more persistent if it was like, that was really her work. But I also wonder about the sun in Pisces and if it could get sort of,
but hold on, let me just, for what you just said right now, that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Well done. And yes, the sun is going to take a softer edge from being in Pisces. But it's Digbala in the 10th house. So it has a strong force guiding her life.
Okay.
And as a strong force guiding her life, what would that look like, the Digbala of the sun? And I'm going to pass this over to Yama real fast.
As a strong force in her life.
Guiding her life.
Say the question again. Pardon me, say the question again.
Sun is.
She has a Digbala sun. So what's that doing?
Right. That means she has a very strong 10th house, very strong sense of work or contribution.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to look at the Pisces part of it or no?
Nope, tell me more about the Digbala. Just from our last example, what do you think?
Strong.
Strong, what else? What's that?
Huh? Honorable.
Honorable?
She gets seen and acknowledged and respected.
Maybe. We saw what the other person wanted with Jupiter Digbala. What's she want?
Respect.
Physical health?
No, she wants respect. She wants authority. She needs to be in charge. There should be some people that she can order around. Then she's happy.
Well, that's what Okay, so I said she wanted acknowledgement, and what you were saying is she might not get it, but you were saying how I said it was she gets it. And you were saying maybe, right?
Maybe, but she's going to work towards
it. So that's what it's not what she gets, but it's what she wants.
Well, but that's the Saturn and Mars in the fourth,
mm-hmm.
blocking it,
mm-hmm.
which is Argala chapter. Well, I don't want to go into that. You got that though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see how that Digbala, it doesn't mean she's getting it, but she's working towards
it. It's what she wants.
She wants, right. and she's going to go in that direction. All right. What other questions do we got, Maggie? And then, let me ask real fast. Parul, do you have some questions?
I have a couple of quick questions.
Okay, then let me.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, let me give Maggie one more, and then we'll jump over to you.
Okay. So I was doing the practice exercise where you're calculating the logma from each house.
And we didn't go into the more meanings, but I think we got a good use right now. I wanted to go through more of those upachaya, dhistana, this and that, but all right, go ahead, and we'll come back to that if we get time.
More in depth into that instead, if you want.
Probably. Huh? Say that again. I missed it.
You can, instead of asking another question, you can go more into depth in that if you want.
Okay, let's jump over to parole and make sure we get everything of her in, and then we'll come back and we'll go more in depth into the third.
That's fine.
Okay, parole.
Yes, I just have a few questions. So I was practicing on a friend's chart who also similar to Antoine has Scorpio rising, except she has moon in the rising sign in Scorpio, and she just had a huge accident. She's okay, but she had a huge accident, and things are really shaken up for her. So I was just curious as to how the transit of Mars and Saturn, like through the first house for those with Scorpio rising, does it necessarily indicate like death or near death or close to like life-threatening events,
Mars through the Lugna is a dangerous transit in general.
But Scorpio, but Mars is the Lord of Scorpio, so...
Oh, yeah, but when, right now Mars is pretty beat up in the sky.
Because it's retrograde or because it's with Saturn or both?
It's retrograde, it's with Saturn, it's... yeah, Jupiter, the secondary lord is K2, and there's this Jupiter-Rahu nastiness going on right now.
Right, in her ninth or tenth, I think, tenth. Mm-hmm. Ninth. So off the top of my head.
Tenth house. But yeah, so it's like, we can't call it a good transit.
So even though it's the Lord of Scorpio, it doesn't add anything.
For some reason, Scorpio and Aries seem to have more accidents than the rest of us.
So right now, because of transit.
No, just always.
Okay.
Aries, Scorpio, and Ruchaka Mahapurusha, they just are prone to accidents.
The Lord, it being the Lord of Scorpio, doesn't benefit those with Scorpio rising at all. They're just going to go through a hard time until that transit's over.
Everybody, yeah. I mean, everybody has, at some point in the year, everybody has Mars going through the Lugna.
But because it's the first house, it's impacting them like really, really personally, like coming close to death, like both of them. Mm-hmm.
And Mars going over Venus is a more likely to create a car accident.
No, he over Moon.
I know, but I'm just saying, as a standard trend, okay. As a standard, you know.
Okay. Okay. And the other question was when we were talking about Maggie's example of the guy with the neck problems, and I just. Something that you said that kind of caught me about Venus and how that shows like the partner like just being sort of vicious or angry or mean.
It wasn't Venus. It was the fact that the seventh lord was combust.
Okay.
That's where the combustion makes an angry, spiteful planet. Can you crack that door just a little bit?
Seventh Lord, it shows the partnership, angry partner, angry. But would that be like angry or like spiteful business partners or any kind? He would just have that a lot in his life with other people or just romantically?
Could romantically and business partners, both. And if the Ninth Lord was in a combustion, your dad would be angry at you.
Right.
Tenth Lord combustion, your boss easily gets angry at you.
Right. Okay. All right. And then I had a question about a certain Sanskrit pronunciation.
Uh-huh.
Just specifically around Gayatri, you know, when we go through like the vowels like pa pa pee pee poo poo pe pa po po pum pa ha, and the pa ha with the two colon, with the colon,
mm-hmm.
in Gayatri it's like di yo yo na ha, but I never hear, like, I learned it like that with the naha, but I never hear anybody else saying it. And when it's written in Sanskrit, that indication of the naha is there. So I just wanted some clarification on the proper pronunciation of that bit. The diyoyo naha. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So, In general, there's a lot of really bad pronunciation out there. But in the root tatsavitur varenyam, there's no visarga.
Huh?
Bargo devasya di mahi. Yeah, there's no visarga happening.
Visarga meaning the naha bit?
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Papa pee 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 poo pee pee po po pum pa ha. The last one. So wouldn't it be di o yo naha?
It's a dental it ends with. Prachodayat.
No, but di o yo naha in particular, because I don't hear anybody.
Okay, yeah, there it is. How did I miss that?
The correct pronunciation when you want to say diyoyo naha.
When it's in the middle of a sentence, it's much shorter.
Because people just seem to drop that, and I was wondering like why that is.
I can't, you know, do they drop it or does it merge?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't ever hear it like that.
Yeah. When you listen to a good Sanskritist who's doing it slow, you'll be able to hear it. Uh-huh. But if you start going fast, it merges.
Okay. All right. Because I learned the yo-yo naha, but I guess I've just always been curious as to that.
I don't know. I pronounce it. And as I said, okay. there's a lot of bad pronunciation out there.
Okay. That was it. Just a few quick questions.
Uh-huh. There's a... I don't know if that one's in there. There's a few mantras recorded on the website. There's a little section that's free resources.
Mm-hmm.
And my senior guru brother does some chants in that section.
Okay.
And let's see. I don't think he does the Gayatri mantra though. He might do the Gayatri mantra.
Okay, that's good. I was just curious about that because it's something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I pronounce it.
Yeah. I pronounce it too, but I never have heard anybody else do it. So.
Well, anybody.
When I learned it, I also was taught to pronounce it that way.
Yeah. When we say anybody, do we mean anybody or do we mean like these pop, you know, Gayatri songs and people in yoga studios, you know?
No pop. Mm-mm.
You know, like everybody or anybody, like who are you listening to chant the Gayatri? Are you listening to the Shankaracharya chant it?
Nobody in general. It's just how I've heard it. I've just heard it differently. You know, and I'm Indian, and my dad taught it to me, and my father taught me to pronounce the yo-yo naha, and so I always did that. But when I listened to it, not like the pop, but when I listened to it, I don't hear it a lot of times. And I was just curious about that.
And sometimes. But maybe sometimes you might hear it just as a longer space.
Like the yo-yo na, like that?
I mean, do you do much with beats like di yo yo na ha prachodayata? The two lines on top makes it a three.
Okay.
All right. Was it anything more, or is that it?
No, that's it for me today.
All right. So I wanted to make sure we got you in. Let's jump back real fast. Just do a little bit more with the third house, going through all these things. I got slightly distracted. Bavat bavam. So third house. It's with bavat bavam. It's your sibling. Now, which house is your aunt? Your maternal aunt.
So my mom's sister would be sixth
house. Uh-huh. What about your dad's brother or dad's sibling?
The 11th.
Uh-huh. So we got, you know, and yeah, so I won't go too much more into that. Let's see. In the D7, if we calculate the first child from the fifth house, where will that child's sibling be seen?
The seventh.
The seventh, and that child's sibling?
The ninth.
Uh-huh, perfect. Third house, let's see, is... So when you sleep, what's the happiness of your sleep?
You can see that from the third house because it's the fourth from the 12th.
Well, I mean, if you're, think about somebody that has all kinds of malefics there doing really intense stuff. How well do they sleep at night?
Probably not very well.
Where somebody who is really nice to everybody, how well do they sleep at night?
Better.
Right. All right. So yeah. Let's see. What's a
that's a saying in India, isn't it? I sleep well.
Are you referring to the fact that it's a comma house? Is that what you mean?
I was fourth from the 12th. 12th house being sleep.
So that works for the internal significations and the external significations of any house?
Of everything in every direction.
Okay.
The everything from everything.
Every layer of the house meaning.
Yes. We just have to remember what is the nature of the house that we're seeing it from.
Okay.
What is that house for your spouse?
Their job. Wait, no. They're like dharma, I guess. They're their father.
Their father. You could say father, but I'd go more dharma. Their purpose. And it's a very sexist thing, but in traditional, you know, the some of the old Indian texts, you know, because they're talking about, they infer that it's a men's chart, and so then they look at the seventh house as the wife, and her dharma is the third house. And what's another indication of the third house?
Your courage.
Courage.
Sibling.
What a sibling? What else?
Effort.
What's the word matuna mean?
Oh, copulation.
Copulation. The wife's dharma is copulation.
Nice.
So one of the purposes of having the purpose, you know, when we say dharma can also be translated as purpose. So one of the purposes of a partner is to have copulation with. Which you could say good or bad, but the thing is, it's with your partner. With your partner, the dharma is copulation. If we look at the 11th, that's not the dharma of friends. That's not the dharma of random people, random hookups. It's the partner's dharma. So we have a relationship with somebody, and then sexuality is the dharma. It's righteous in the relationship with a person.
That makes sense.
Say again?
Yeah.
And if there's malefics there?
violence.
Oh, I'm not even going to go there right now. Because you got to read it backwards, but that just taps into a whole other area with where. Well, the thing is, what they've found with S&M is normally, if somebody's a big boss in control of lots of people, they normally don't want to go in the bedroom and be in control of somebody. They kind of want the opposite. They want somebody to be in control of them. It's the normally the people that want to be tied up are the people that are these in charge people. The people that want to be in charge in the bedroom are the people that like have these menial nothing type jobs. And we can see this opposite happening here with, you know, that because it's the ninth house from the partner. So there gets to be that flip happening there. Upachaya, what's it mean to be an upachaya?
Increasing.
What's that?
It gets better.
Accumulating.
Say again.
Over time, gets better.
Better. What does that mean though? To get better.
She thinks it's better over time.
Well, I hope that it gets easier or something.
Easier? Oh, I don't know about easier.
Maybe it just manifests more of its indications more strongly.
Does it accumulate
more
karma?
Can it? Everything accumulates karma. Mm-hmm. So, for example, your friend has this spiteful humor. Funny as can be, but unless you're on the other end of it, right? Now, how easy is that to like evolve and get better? How easy is that for him to? You say that again.
Are you saying it's not very likely to get better because it's not an upachaya house?
Naturally, it would not get easy. It would not get better. Like, he would just keep going on the way he's going, naturally. He needs an external force to hit him on the head and say, yo, look what you're doing. Look what this is doing to you. In the third house, we get, hey, this is, you know, being this intense with people, they don't react very nice. I gotta kind of be a little bit more like, you know, my wife is threatening to leave me. I gotta kind of, you know, kind of accept her opinion sometimes. So there's this natural kind of maturity that kind of grows in the upachaya houses. And so, you know, when we look at a younger, sometimes people are like, oh, that was a problem when I was young, but not anymore, you know? Like, well, yeah. That depends on the house that it's in. Let's see. What else? What else do we want to integrate into there? I think that's good. We got a good grasp
of it. The comma.
Comma?
The comma house.
Oh, your hobbies. What do you like okay. to go hiking.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, so hiking, it's Rahu's son loves the mountains. Rahu likes to Rahu doesn't like to hike up mountains. Rahu likes to come down mountains, you know?
Rahu's also a little bit compulsive, isn't he?
Oh yeah, so you go hiking anytime just random times you just pop out and go hiking, huh? Is that what's going on? Yeah, so that's hobbies, and let's see, you don't play an instrument, do you?
No, I've done sports for most of my life. Uh-huh.
So that sun is giving more effects than anything. Oh, you play sports, okay? And so when somebody wants the ball, what kind of sports?
Well, in childhood it was team sports, but then I ran track and field and cross country for my college.
Uh-huh. And then do you do sports now at all or no?
Well, I was doing martial arts and I've gotten injured a lot. I was continuing to run, but my injuries have ended that for a while.
Yeah. martial arts. We really let the other person say what they want and get away with it. Remember, she was trying to say she.
I'm a little bit different in the
mixed result, but we see the aggressive nature, you know, coming out right there.
It's more malefic.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yes.
Whenever you're done, I have one more quick question, if that's okay.
Go for it, because we're finishing up.
Okay, so I just want to know the importance of like, how do you weigh things? So, for example, you said the seventh house lord combust can show like a mean partner, right? I was just like looking through my chart, and my seventh house lord is Mercury.
Uh-huh.
And most people, Mercury, like a lot of people, is combust because Mercury is so close to the sun.
Okay, can you slowly give everybody your information as you're talking about your chart?
Okay, it's November 7th, 1969. In Worcester, Massachusetts, Worcester. Massachusetts at 3:22 p.m.
How do you spell it now?
Yeah, how do you spell that?
Spell it like Worcester. Worcester. Worcester.
And the time?
3:22 p.m.
And the month?
November 7th, 1969.
5 degrees apart. 6 starts the combustion, but Mercury deals with combustion relatively well in the beginning.
The question is, Jupiter and Moon are in my seventh house,
mm-hmm.
and Jupiter is my Lagna Lord. So with Jupiter being in the seventh house, even though Mercury, the Lord of the seventh house, is combust, would that change that, like showing like a mean partner? What give more weight to, or how does that work?
You can still have, you know, Jupiter Moon makes a very affluent partner who's liked by people, and people know who they are, and things of that nature. Now, how they treat you is not always how they are in the world.
Okay.
You got that differentiation there?
Yeah, so they could be mean to me.
And nice to everybody else, yes.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like they are, because you're laughing. It doesn't sound like they are.
They don't seem like they are. No, it doesn't seem like they are, but maybe, I don't know, like maybe that doesn't, it doesn't count as much, or does it always count the same?
Say this again?
Because
count. Count, you got to be more specific. Count to what? Like, which side are you talking?
Does that weigh in as heavy as other influences, like the Jupiter Moon? Can that, like,
so let's just be important. Let's just make it clear. Everything weighs in. It's
okay.
It's all about differentiating. It's not about what has effect and what doesn't.
Okay.
So we see Jupiter and Moon are in the seventh. That gives us the nature of that partner, of who they are. Now, where the Lord of them goes is, to them, it's going to, you know, for you, it's going to the eighth house. And so what did we say when the seventh Lord goes to the eighth?
That you get like a mean partner. No. You said that you leave them.
Uh-huh. And so that shows a leaving of the partner, you know, being part of karma.
It doesn't mean that you will. It means if the conditions arise, you would. But it doesn't mean you will, right?
This is like a 95% accurate rule.
So the seventh lord in the eighth, which mine is indicated that the spouse
Tell us about that first spouse.
Oh yeah, he left me.
Uh-huh.
That's what the rule is, actually.
That's the rule.
That's what I wrote down, yeah.
Okay, the rule is he leaves you. So he just corrected me.
Husband leaves the wife.
I'm just screwed. Every single spouse is going to leave me?
No. Because we calculate different spouses in different ways, which we don't focus on in level one.
Okay.
But we see that the first spouse leaves.
Right.
And we see that there's a little bit of a meanness, spitefulness in that situation.
Yeah, but not from him.
But it doesn't matter from, not, well, what do you mean not from him?
From his mother, the Indian mother-in-law, you know, like the really mean, spiteful, like quintessential mother-in-law.
Well, you see, he was Jupiter Moon, so he acted nice to you, even if he felt certain ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's, so then if it's like the next spouse or the next spouse, we don't look at the natal placement, or
that's a level two. That's a level two, you know, different levels of marriage.
But the natal.
Right now, when we look at the natal, the first marriage. The first love of your life, it kind of gives us an archetypal picture of what Venus is doing. The first marriage kind of gives us an archetypal picture of what the seventh house is doing. And so even though we evolve and like there comes to be a different relationship, but there's still just kind of this program that we're running on. Even though the circumstances change in a certain way, certain things we just keep repeating and doing and acting in certain ways. You got that differentiation?
Okay. Yeah.
And it's 8:33, so I got to get home to eat my dinner before it gets too late.
What's the name on this chart, please? I'm sorry.
Parul. P-A-R-U-L. And that's Parul who was just speaking. All right. Do we got class next week?
Yes.
Okay, we got class. We got class next week. I'll see you all 6 o'clock next week.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good dinner.